invite you today to take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I want to talk to you about the trials of transition. I'm going to read this text as we go through the message. I was reading about a man who really loved baseball. He was never ever could play on a team. So he used to tell everybody, he said, "When I go to heaven, I'm playing baseball." So he went by his doctor's office one day to have his 6-month checkup. They ran his labs. Went back a month later, the doc called him in and said, "Frank, I got good news and I got bad news." Frank said, "Let me have the good news first." He said, "Well, the good news is you really are going to get to play baseball in heaven." But Frank said, "What's the bad news?" He said, "Well, you're batting cleanup tomorrow night in heaven." Well, think about this. Every one of us is in some kind of transition. That's what life's all about. If you have children, you have a baby, you're going through the diaper stage. Before you know it, you're going to be in pre-K, K, primary, elementary, middle school, high school, college, and before you know it, your child will be married and you'll have grandchildren. We've had several of our members over the last few years who've been diagnosed with cancer and other debilitating diseases. They're people who have known in the past what it's like to have their health and energy to do anything they care to do, and now that's been a time of transition for them as they've lost their strength, and then their spouse is their primary caregiver. Aging is another transition. The body doesn't move quite as fast as it used to. Your hearing might not be as good. Print seems to be getting smaller and smaller. Now, I was at the doctor's office for my memory test. The PA looked at me and said, "When's the last time you fell?" I said, "I don't really remember." "Well, have you fallen in the last year?" "No, I don't think so." For other families, the transition is domestic unrest. Divorce comes in. And in a divorce, if you have children, the children always lose. And there's always one parent in a divorce that wants to be the friend of the children. The other person has to be the authority figure. And that creates difficulties. This year, I listened to some of our children as they were moving from elementary school. And for the first time ever, they were going to middle school. And others, they were moving from middle school to high school. And there was a lot of stress in their voice when I shared with them. I have people frequently questioning me about their aging parents. Their parents need to go to assisted living or they need to be in a nursing home. Usually, if you have a sibling there, if there's more than one sibling, usually one sibling won't show up to help take care of mom and dad. And then there's that other difficulty where people don't have the money to go to a long-term care facility. And they ask me, "What do we do?" Pleasant Valley South, you're not used to transition with staff until the last 5 years. We had a student minister who was here for 28 years. Your former pastor was here for 22 and a half years. We had a children's minister that was here for 17 years. And the only way we could figure out how long Patsy Jordan has been here is our financial secretary do a bone marrow and see how many rings are there and see how old that tree really is. 22 years ago, Delaney and I were in transition. We didn't have an active resume. And some search committee from Silver Creek, Georgia, contacted us. And they had a liberal named Warren Jones, who was chairman of the search committee. And they talked to us from April through July, and I turned them down twice. We lived 50 miles from our aging parents. We had been in a church for 13 years, reaching people in 4 counties. Then all of a sudden, our world was turned upside down, as we found out once again. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Some of you may know the transition of being terminated. Maybe you know transition in your home, your business, or socially. Then the doctor says you've got heart disease or you have cancer. In this message today, I want to share with you just four basic principles we need to remember every day, because every single day we're living and breathing on this earth, we're going through changes. So look at Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 and 2. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them, the land I'm going to give to the Israelites. First principle I want you to write down is this. We're in transition and change. We need guidance. The first thing I want you to notice there is the call of Joshua. Joshua was Moses' number two man when he received the call from God. When you look at that name Joshua, he's actually a picture. That name is a picture of Jesus Christ. If you go to the Hebrew and then you translate his name into the Greek, you get Jesus. His name means Jehovah will save. Jehovah is Savior. Now, when you talk about the law and being an expert, and you're talking about a person who was the ultimate leader, all of that is synonymous with the name Moses. Joshua has to take up where Moses, the lawgiver, left off. Remember, Moses had to leave them straying and staggering around the wilderness in the law and good works. Listen, cannot take you in to God's promised land. Well, how do you get in? Joshua led them. And now we go in by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll take you into the promised land instead of Moses, who was the mouthpiece of God and also the motivator of Israel. We see that Joshua is the one that's got to take the children of Israel in the promised land. Now, the irony is very, very severe. Moses dies without ever setting foot in the promised land. We see that he goes to the very gates of Canaan, and God will not allow him in. Now, notice what he says to Joshua. Go over this Jordan. That speaks of death. And then he takes him through Jericho. Jericho was the greatest enemy, the most powerful enemy Joshua and the children of Israel were going to face. You ever been stuck on an elevator? I remember when I weighed about 40 pounds less and I was not quite as smart enough to keep my mouth shut. I can recall getting on elevators in public places and I'd be the last one in, and I weighed 120 pounds. And I'd look around at everybody. I didn't know anybody. I'd say, listen, if this elevator is overloaded, it's not because of me. Women took offense at that. I couldn't understand. Sometimes you hear that elevators get caught between two floors. You know, if you go get hung in an elevator, you'd just rather not be between two floors, because you've got the possibility of prying the doors open and stepping out on a floor if it's on a designated floor. You don't want to be in between. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes that's what happens to people and their career. Listen, Joshua had been the number two man. He was in charge of the military, but the number two man to Moses for 40 years. You might say his career had plateaued. There's just nowhere for him to go. Now, understand there's a difference in a midlife crisis and a midlife plateau. A midlife crisis is when a man decides to dump his wife and children. He buys a red sports car. He moves out. He buys a gold chain with a gold shark's tooth. He has hair implants put on his chest. And he keeps his first three buttons unbuttoned so everybody can see while he's out trolling for women. That's a midlife crisis. This is a midlife plateau. A man keeps his wife, he keeps his children, he keeps his job where he's kind of plateaued, and has the old Chevy that he drives back and forth to work, and the only chain he owns is a chain link fence around his backyard. but he feels like he's leveled off. That's a midlife plateau. It happens to nearly every man. Every man here, I think, when you face, or a woman, when you face that plateau time, you need to remember this. Just write this down. In God's purpose, you'll find his perfect will for your life. Now watch this. If you go with me, Will, to Deuteronomy, just go back a page or two in your Bible there, go back in your smartphone. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, and I want you to look at verse 14. There's some significant words here. Deuteronomy 31:14, the Lord said to Moses, "Now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, where I will commission him." So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And what's the purpose of this meeting? It's there in just four words. I will commission him. Now, this is something that's so important that we need to hear. Sometimes we feel like we're plateaued. The promotion that you get will come from God. You say, where you get that from, Pastor? Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. Listen to this. Promotion comes neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south, but from the Lord. If all of us as men and women can just get that in our mind, that it's not up to us, it's not politics, it's not who you know, it's not the company. Ultimately, he says, it's not up to my social contacts. He said, when you're wanting to live according to God's will, and there are times you feel like you just plateaued, God's forgotten where you are, when you least expect it, the promotion comes from God. Now notice the other thing. We need guidance. We also need the compass here, down in verse 3 and 4. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. In other words, Joshua's going to be the man to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. He had promised this land to Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. And he says, once you get there, everything will be put into Joshua's hands as a trustee of all the people. Listen, God spells it out. He says, Joshua, this is your destination. I read an article the other day called The Oddest Travel Tales of the Year. John Flynn wrote about a Belgian woman who back in 2013 got in her car and she was going to drive 90 miles to pick up a friend. At the end of 2 days, she had driven 900 miles and still hadn't gotten her friend. 67-year-old lady followed her GPS to pick up this friend in Brussels, and this device led her to cross Brussels, 5 international borders, to Croatia over the course of 2 days. She said, I saw all kinds of signs, first in French, then in German, then in Croatian. But she said, I was reading my GPS, I got distracted and got lost. Ladies and gentlemen, even the best GPS needs to be recalculated. But I'm going to promise you this. If you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and you ponder over the Word of God, He will be your compass to get you where you need to go. The other thing I want you to write down is this. We need guidance, but the second thing as we go through transition, we need grace. Look at verse 5 again here in chapter 1. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Now, that's big news to Joshua. He thought to himself, Lord, all this sounds really good, but to be honest, it sounds a little too good to be true. He says, there shall not be anybody able to stand before you. Can you imagine how that thrilled Joshua? First of all, he promised God said, I'm going to give you protection. In other words, he was telling Joshua, nobody can prevent Israel from reaching the promised land. Nobody can. And the other thing he says, I'm going to give you my presence. Notice what he says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Then down in verse 9, he says, be not afraid, don't be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. God promised that he would be with him just like he was with Moses. That's why Joshua was told three times, look at verse 6, 7, and 9. He said, be strong and be of good courage. You will not be the lone ranger. I remember when we were kids and we had black and white television sets. We had to turn them on. The remote control was your child when they could crawl to the set and turn it on for mom and dad. And there were tubes in the back that would heat up and light up. And you know what we love to watch? Superman. Clark Kent. Nobody could whip him. And there was Lois Lane. There was no enemy that could do damage to her. And Clark Kent, when he heard Lois was in trouble, he would always make it where? To a phone booth. Isn't that right? Now you got to tell your children and your grandchildren what that is. What that was. Okay? And he'd go in there and he'd come out and there he'd be. That's the best I can do it, folks. But anyway. And he'd come flying off and he'd rescue her every time. And you know, she knew the power and she knew the presence of Superman. Nothing compared to what Joshua was promised. He said, you got my presence and you got my power every place you go. Joshua didn't do anything to earn the success. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it was a gift from God. And I want you to know in this chapter, this is the only place you'll ever find the word success used in the Bible. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you power. You're going to give my presence and you're going to be successful. So look at verse 6 and verse 7. He says, be strong and courageous because you'll lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey. Look at this. Underscore that word all. All the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to the right or the left. Look at this. That you may be, there it is, successful wherever you go. Now, God's promise. He says, I'm giving you power and I'm giving you protection. So Joshua's source for strength and courage was God, beginning with the faithfulness of God. How many people will misrepresent the truth to you? I think I shared with you when we were looking for a student minister, I wound up with 130 resumes. Wow. I had this one resume. His last name was Alagood, A-L-A-G-O-O-D. Man, it looked good. I thought, this might be the man. And he showed on his resume that he had served at a particular church in Augusta, Georgia for 12 years. Well, I just happened to be from Augusta. I just happened to know the pastor that was there 33 years. So I made a phone call. Have you ever heard of this guy right here that served during your tenure at Abilene Baptist Church? He said, no, I've never heard of this guy in my life. And the pastor, the former pastor told me, he said, why don't you call this guy and tell him he looks like a good candidate and ask him the former pastor's wife's name. That'll be your security because he won't be able to tell you her name is Janet. Well, guess what happened? That was several months ago. I got a call from one of our Georgia Baptist Convention employees this week. And you know what he said, you remember that Alagood guy that sent the resume to you? I said, yeah. He said he sent that resume to somebody in North Georgia and said he had served at Abilene Baptist, which I caught him in a lie there, but he also served at Hillcrest Baptist in Augusta. The pastor in North Georgia called the Alagood guy and talked to him a good while, knowing that he was a liar and had a false resume, but he didn't let on. So finally, the guy from North Georgia says to Alagood, he says, boy, I see you served at Hillcrest Baptist Church in Augusta for several years. The guy said, I sure did. pastor said, my cousin was the pastor over there during that time, and he ain't never heard of you. God is not like that. What God says to us, he will do. God has promised salvation as a free gift made possible by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift is available to those who desire it. And since God has said it, we can count on it, for God is faithful. As we go back through all the changes we've been through in our lives, we can trace his hand. You've experienced it then. You experience it now. Now, the fourth principle I want to share with you as we go through the changes of life, we want to see the persistence on the part of Joshua, beginning with verse 6 through 11. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to the right or the left. You may be successful wherever you go. Now, verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Verse 10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. Now, first thing you want to write down is the word Joshua was to follow. God gives him very specific instructions. He says, Joshua, you observe the word explicitly. Look back at verse 7. That you may observe to do according to all the law. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. That word law there means directions. In other words, God's law is divine directions on how to put together a successful life. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no shortcuts to success according to God's standards. Notice what else. He says, you're to obey this law entirely. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written there. Now, notice what he says. The word of God is not a cafeteria. If you go to a cafeteria for lunch today, you might pick fried chicken or fried catfish. You might pick mac and cheese. You might pick green beans. Some of you will get turnip greens for whatever reason when ham hocks in it. I don't know why you do that. But you just pick and choose what you want. You might have banana pudding. You might have chocolate cake. Here's what he's saying here. You observe all of my law. He said, don't pull out a few favorite gold nuggets you like to live by and just discard everything else. He said, all these principles are here for you to follow. So we must not only hear it, but he says we've got to heed it, not only observe it, he says you've got to obey it. Then the wonder he was going to find. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. The formula for success is right here. He says here in verse 8 again, he says, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. You say, but pastor, I thought success depended on the Lord. Yes, it does. But I want you to know, unless we are humble before him, we are following him, we're spirit-led, God's not going to bring that kind of blessing on us. I'm not preaching a health, wealth gospel here. I'm just sharing with you what he says in Joshua. Joshua learns if he observes God's word explicitly and obeys this entirely, you'll prosper wherever you go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that applies to your marriage. Every couple with whom I do premarital counseling, I always spend quite some time in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to the end of the chapter. I said, these are God's blueprints for a marriage and a home. If you'll build on this solid foundation, you will know success. And you know a slice of heaven here on this earth. But if you go against what God said, you go into divorce court. I said, in fact, I've taught you enough that if we go down to divorce court today, we can listen to every couple who approaches the stand with their lawyers, and we'll listen at the accusations. And you could sit here with these principles and say, well, these were the blueprints, and here's where they were broken. Now, I'm not throwing rocks at people who are divorced, except by the grace of God, there goes me. I have a brother who's been divorced 3 times, so I understand that. And divorce is not the unpardonable sin. That's not what we're talking about right here, right now. But I'm talking about following God's principles. Look at Truett Cathy. He's in heaven now. Isn't that great? Do you know that there was a new business report brought out 2 months ago? They have gone from number 6. Chick-fil-A has gone from number 6 to number 3 in sales among all the fast food restaurants in the nation. Number 1, McDonald's. I was shocked. Starbucks is listed as number 2. And then Chick-fil-A. And you know, the analysts just can't figure it out, because Chick-fil-A is open 6 days a week and the others are open 7, and some of them 24/7. Why are they gaining? Because Truett Cathy, led by the Lord, followed God's principles of success. And he had a conviction that my employees ought to be off on Sunday so they can attend church and be with their families. What a revolutionary idea. And guess what? I believe it with all my heart. And it's not because I want free Chick-fil-A coupons either. I believe we'll live long enough to see Chick-fil-A number 1 in sales, far beyond all other fast food restaurants. Back in World War II, there was a man named General Jonathan Wainwright. He led a gallant but vain fight that led him to become a prisoner of war. And I want you to know, the Japanese soldiers beat the general every day. Word came into the prison camp that the Japanese had surrendered on a particular day. The next day, the Japanese soldiers came in to beat General Wainwright, and he was able to stand erect that day, and he looked up and he said, "The Japanese have surrendered. I'm in charge here now." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus won the victory on the cross, and he's in charge now, even when we are in transition. George Washington Carver was a slave beginning of his life. You know, he was a great agricultural scientist and chemist, did so much with the peanut. Do you know the Senate brought him for a hearing and asked him where he learned so much about the peanut? And you know what he said? He said, "I read a book." Senator said, "What book?" He said, "The Bible." And the senator said, "I don't think the Bible says anything about peanuts." He said, "No, sir. It don't say anything about peanuts, but it talks a whole lot about the one who made the peanut. And the maker told me what we could do with the peanut." Transition of the peanut. One of the best transitions Delaney and I have seen in the last 7 years is with her former college roommate, Pam. Pam lives outside of Columbia, South Carolina. Her husband got pancreatic cancer. He made it about 2 years. Now, our friendship goes back to 1973. When he died, they asked me to come to preach his funeral. I'll never forget, he was a big tennis buff, and he told me the last time we visited him over there and went out to eat with him in Columbia, he said, "Now look, don't be surprised." He said, "But the honorary pallbearers will all be in shorts and t-shirts." Said, "I'm in a tennis league, and I asked them to dress that way." I said, "Okay." Wally was a little whacked anyway in certain areas. But I want you to know, they're married, have 2 kids. They have grandchildren now. Both daughters are married. Devastating for Wally to die. But I want you to share something else. Transition, change. At the same time he was sick, her mother had Alzheimer's. And her dad's health was declining quickly. He'd been a pastor for years and years. They were all living in the same house. She was caregiving three at the same time. Mother died. Wally fell out the back door one day after that. He died. And just a few months later, her daddy died. She's in this big house on 10 acres all by herself. We're checking on her. We're praying for her. She has a good church family network of friends. But we wondered, when she gets to the depression part of the guilt process, will she ever come out? She came and stayed with us while we were on vacation a couple of weeks ago. Let me tell you what she's doing. She was a counselor in schools for 33 years. Now she is working with pre-K in her church Monday through Friday. Tell you something else. She was just on the pastor search committee for their church. Took them about a year to find somebody. They've got a new guy. And I want you to know the church is just reaching people all over the place. Let me tell you what else she did. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this big home. As they've called staff members, the staff members come to Columbia and they don't have a place to live yet. So she lets the whole staff member's family move into her home as long as it takes for them to find a new house. Wow. You're taking strangers into your house. And she's a constant source of encouragement to other people that she comes alongside that have lost their spouse to death. Still sings in the choir. She walked around our condominium. She'd just be singing. She's singing the choir special they sang last Sunday or something they're going to do next Sunday. She's just an inspiration to be around. What a great example that was for us. What are we going to do when we experience transition? And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, we are all disposable here on the face of this earth. I read something the other day, said every pastor and every staff member that comes to a church ought to consider themselves interims, because in time, that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be your turn anymore. So we go through transition. You want to experience and enjoy the victory the Lord Jesus Christ has for us? Then look at what Joshua did. He's given us directions. And you want to experience success according to God's standards. You just live by His Word, led by the Holy Spirit. And look what happened to Joshua. Oh, Joshua, you call me to do what, Lord, at Jericho? My power is with you. My presence is with you. You will be successful. Will you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.